need you to lower your expectations a little bit?
What the?
KFNC, Mud Bellevue, Houston. ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, good morning. John and Raheel, along with Dell this morning. 4 hours you have to work today.
Hi, Houston.
Oh, my God.
Good morning.
Dell, how could you be this phony in the morning?
I walked in, and he's like, morning, Dell. I'm like, ugh. So insincere.
You would think you'd wake up like a normal person, but instead he puts on his whole phony deal early in the morning.
What if me being this way is really me?
No. No, we know
what if you guys have the wrong read here? What if you guys are the mock draft experts that missed on this one?
Oh, no. No. There is absolutely no way that you're Patrick Mahomes, okay?
I'm Kyler Murray.
You might be Kyler Murray.
Sure thing.
No, not a
sure thing.
Is Kyler Murray a sure thing?
Yeah.
All right, who?
Sure that he'll be drafted.
Okay, first of all, who is more heroic today? Would it be Clint Capella playing through the illness, going 6-for-7, scoring 16 points? Is it Lou Williams, who down the stretch was unfreaking believable in beating the Golden State Warriors? Is it Justin Verlander for stepping up and striking out 10? Or is it Bun B for heroically shooting potential car robbers?
I'm going to go Bun B 1. Lou Williams 2.
Okay.
Capella 3. And Justin Verlander, just do your job. For
what are you talking about?
Just do your job.
Nobody beats the Twins.
Frankly, I feel like you're overlooking someone.
Who? There's a five?
There's a fifth guy who was very heroic in this very city. When you can shoot 4-for-22 and decide, hey man, I just got to keep putting up shots from all angles.
Let's go.
I feel like that's a heroic display by Donovan Mitchell.
He was a hero that Utah didn't need.
I didn't say he was a hero. I just said
it was. You said it was heroic.
But he was not a hero for Utah.
Somebody had to take those shots, though.
So
it had to be him. not last night.
It could have been Ricky Rubio.
Ricky Rubio was nice last night.
Ricky Rubio. Hey, Donovan Mitchell, I know it was a bad night for you. I get it. Uh-huh. I totally understand. You're a young player, second year. It was a rough night. You were still within three there. You need to hold the ball. Do not give it to Ricky Rubio in the corner. He did not hit a shot, I think, the whole series from the corner.
Well, they were down one at the time.
Was
I
it
think.
One?
And then instead of Ricky Rubio, doing what was successful that night, getting into the lane and making a mid-range jumper, he decided to shoot a corner three.
Air ball.
And air balled.
How about getting the ball to Royce O'Neal? Because that dude can't miss. All right?
Someone other than Rubio from the corner or Donovan Mitchell at all.
Yeah, well, he wasn't very – and I heard Charlie, and he had on a Utah writer, and Donovan Mitchell after game four where they won the game. Oh, I think, you know what? We're going to come out, and we feel good now. I found something. You found 4-for-22 is what you found.
I mean, I could see why he might have felt good, because if you want to be honest, since game two, Utah's kind of had it the way they wanted. Well, they still can't shoot, but the pace – The kind of not even the Rockets actually like it kind of hectic, but it was just kind of the slow down, methodical type deal. They kind of had it their way. The Rockets just barely got to 100 points again. So if you want to say the Utah Jazz kind of controlled the tempo the last three games, I would probably agree with you. It's just, when it mattered late in game three and game five, they didn't make shots. The Rockets made a couple defensive plays, and now they're going home.
Yeah, when they had like 32 points midway or through the second quarter when they're out, I said, oh my God.
It's going to be one of those nights.
And that's exactly the game that Utah wanted, that Utah could win. That's the only way they could win. There's no way they were out shooting the Rockets.
You saw the energy was also just off for the Rockets. Like, they thought they were just going to walk in and win that. And they ended up winning it when it mattered, and that's fine. But it just looked, James was a special kind of bad early. When you miss a dunk.
Yeah, that was.
What about when he had an open layup and he bobbled the ball?
There were so
and just I don't know what it was.
Wait,
not right now. Luckily, Chris Paul in the fourth, he was like, "Okay,
yeah,
I got a couple of possessions in me. We'll take care of this. Let's get out of this series."
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I mean, listen, for them to take care of Utah the way they did, after watching, after seeing Golden State, you know, struggle with the Clippers, the eighth seed. You know, you got, and while we say, well, they didn't look very good, and you don't want the Rockets going in shooting like this the way they had the last couple of games. I mean, because this is not how, you're not going to beat Golden State. You're just not playing this way. But Golden State's going, holy crap, how are we going to win? How are we going to beat anybody when we're losing two games at home to the Clippers?
Can Daryl Morey acquire Lou Williams between series?
How about Montrezl?
Well, we know, you called it Rockets West.
It is Rockets West. Sleeper and oh, by the way, agents. Pat Bev, I wouldn't mind having all three of those guys against them.
Well, then you have to take away Chris Paul because that's kind of how it worked out.
Well, no, you can, because we got Austin Rivers too. You can have Pat Beverly and him.
Okay, you can take that, Austin Rivers.
There's not limited.
But you got to send something to Clippers way.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, they can have Austin Rivers. They can have him back.
Hartenstein.
They could have had Daniel House before last night, to be honest with you.
No, they can't have Daniel.
Before last night, they could have, but Daniel House showed up last night.
Take Kenneth Reed.
Well, if we can have Montrezl, they can have Kenneth Reed, Austin Rivers, and Isaiah Hartenstein. Bye. Go.
I'll never forget that one game where Kenneth Reed hit 1-3. No, it was 2 threes, and people are like, oh, here we go. He has range. He has range. You're like, no, he just hit two. Guys, relax. This isn't going to be a part of the thing. Can he play two games in this series? Because that's all he played.
Well, and quite frankly, after the game, I'm like, oh, well, this is not the way you want to be playing. But then you see them losing to the Clippers. For those of you just waking up and you didn't hear, the Clippers beat Golden State again, 129-121. Lou Williams was unbelievable down the stretch. Pat Beverly. Montrezl had all kinds of big baskets and rebounds and defense. What about those block? Did you see his block?
I'll tell you, this Warriors team, everyone's waiting for them to turn it on, right? Like, oh, there's this switch that they're just going to turn on. What if the chemistry is not that great this season? What if all this stuff behind the scenes where they're trying to hide it now and they're trying to put on a public face, like, no, we're all good. What if it's not that good?
Yeah.
Well, look, you should not be having this much of a problem with the Clippers at home.
Well, I don't know if you remember. There was one of us that said that the Rockets would win that series.
And there was another one of us who said, the Rockets are not scared of the Clippers or the Warriors. Like, why is everyone already going, oh, the Warriors got this? This is what they're looking forward to. And now they get a bunch of rest, too, which is nice. So the series, if the Warriors won last night, was going to start Sunday at 2:30 officially. That was what the NBA said, right? Now,
no.
Just hang out. Hey, Clippers, go win game six. Let's take this to seven. Rest up all you want.
Well, if they do end it on Friday, they might still play on Sunday, right?
Let's just go for a game seven on Sunday.
That probably won't happen. For whatever reason, they get their ass handed to them in L.A. They go and win at Golden State, and they get their ass handed to them in L.A. I figure Golden State will end this next round. Some good Steve Kerr quotes and Klay Thompson quotes came out of that last night. We'll play those for you coming up in just a little bit. But our Astros win 2 out of 3. It's what they do. Justin Verlander. I felt bad for Cole Stewart. Cole Stewart is a local kid, went to St. Pius High School. I know the family. Just a good kid. He's been scuffling, trying to get – he's up and down, and he's had injuries. He's had knee problems, all kinds of stuff. There was even some thought, you know, that he might go back and play football because he was a really good quarterback. Kevin Sumlin recruited him to Texas A&M. But he stuck with baseball. He gets up against Justin Verlander. That's not something you're really looking forward to, is up against Justin Verlander, I don't think.
Why not? That's pretty sweet.
Well, because that whole Justin Verlander is going to shut you down and you can't give up any runs thing.
Yeah, but either way, against that lineup, it doesn't matter who you're facing on the other side. It's going to be tough either way. So you might as well go against a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be memorable. Hey, I started against Justin Verlander.
I didn't win against Justin
Verlander.
No. But I started against him.
Right. I had it was that was a lot about
how
Carlos
old is this
Correa
kid?
And he's a year older. He's 23.
And he's going to go back and play football potentially?
He was going to. Oh. He was thinking about it not this past offseason, but the one before.
It's less in vogue now, but it happened quite a bit in the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah.
Chris Winkie was the obvious one that comes to mind. Guys, go back.
Yeah.
Brandon Whedon
did it too. One.
But it doesn't happen now, right?
Yeah, it does. Brandon Whedon did it.
No. Whedon. That was, 7 years ago? Yeah, no, more than 7 years ago.
Even still, why not?
Has anybody recently done it last, 3 years, 4 years?
You got to be a special kind of guy. Well, Kyler Murray was playing baseball, and, you know, that might have happened as well.
No, I'm saying you've already made it to the majors, and you're going to go back and play football?
Yeah.
Had he been called up last year going into last year?
He did, right?
So, he had major
league... Well, it was before last season that he was thinking about it. He hadn't been called up yet.
But he hadn't been called up then. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I was saying, he's been called up, and he still wants to go play football. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. He's a good kid, too. That's a, you know.
Hey, sounds like a Kincaid kid, Cole Stewart.
No, he's
I know he is.
St. Pius.
But he sounds like a Kincaid kid.
Gary Kubiak was a St. Pius kid. Okay, that's Kincaid. Just heart and soul. That's the heartland.
Of Houston?
Of Bel Air? Where is it? Where's
it's
the St. Pius?
Bel Air?
Where's St. Pius?
It's on North Shepherd. Well, past, I think it's North, one of those streets. Up way north of 610.
No.
Oh, in that.
So the Heartland.
Heartland of Memorial?
It's the Heartland, yeah. It's not the Memorial. It's not even close to Memorial.
Where is it closest? 610 and what?
610 in Bayani. So Shepherd. It's up there. Way up there. Yeah. No, that's the Heartland of the
Heartland
Houston area.
Of Shepherd.
Yeah, kind of.
What is that? River Oaks?
No, it's not River Oaks.
Then what is it? What's
way
the area
north
called?
Of 610 is not even close to it. Trust me, it ain't.
What's
ain't
that
River
area
Oaks.
Called?
No one knows.
No one. It's just unincorporated.
Well, it's it might be a ward. That's all. I don't know.
Huh?
Yeah. I don't know. Where is St. Pius?
I don't know. I've never been there.
Yeah. No, you've never been there.
No.
Yeah. No. Well,
I missed
you're
that
missing
one.
Something. Hey, I hear Heasy. That's right, Jackie.
Yeah.
Heasy's here.
Yeah, it's draft day.
Lance is lazy. Lance took a day off just to lay around and scratch or something.
It's my favorite day of the year.
What we should we send Lance today?
Pictures of McShay?
No, pictures of... Yeah, who's the guy who he has an issue with? It's McShay, right?
Yeah.
Or Steve Palazzo,
because Palazzo
somebody from Pro Football Focus.
Pro Football Focus, Todd McShay, or Steve Palazzo.
Yeah, something like
that. No, we can't do McShay. I think that will actually tick him off.
No, that would be
funny. No, let's do something.
Is that the point?
Let's do something lighthearted.
That's perfect. McShay is perfect.
No.
And oh, by the way, guess who thought of it?
Raheel.
Yeah.
Draft expert.
Yeah. Okay, so you got your algorithms ready for today?
I do. So anytime, at any point, you want to call in and get a draft grade on your team, 713-780.
What about your guy?
No, I'm just doing team grades.
Oh, you're not? What if I want to know Quinnen Williams, what kind of grade you're going
to I can't do that. I'm just doing team draft grades. The Raheel draft algorithm focuses on the team because I'm such a team player.
Such a phony baloney.
So anytime you want to call in and go, hey, what do you have what's the draft grade on my Saints? I can give you that with my new draft algorithm.
Okay, what is your draft algorithm on the Saints?
We'll do that next.
Okay, next, right here on ESPN.
Or, I mean, we could talk Rockets or Astros, but we can.
Yeah.
We can do Raheel's algorithm.
It's wide open, Dell.
We got three hours and 47 more minutes. Okay.
It's not like he's counting.
Yeah, no. He was like, all right, what's this? First segment over.
He's going to the wall in breaks and putting a little tally mark.
I got 15 more segments. We got 15 more segments, Dell. What do you want to do?
Misery.
Time for me to talk about, hey, you know where we're going to be tomorrow? And oh my God, are they getting ready? Is it going to be huge? And if you want to play, okay, so next week is the biggest tournament to ever come to Texas. Not just Houston, but to Texas. 150,000 guaranteed. It's Poker Atlas. You can go on Poker Atlas and you can find out all the information. But May 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th are all first days of this tournament. You say, well, how can you have four first days? You can have four first days in poker. So you have four first days, and then everybody, if you finish in the top 15% on any of those days, then you move on to the second day. And here's the deal. If you finish in the top 15%, you get your money back. So it's $580 to join. But you can also hit a qualifier on Monday or Tuesday, which is something I'm going to try to do. Go qualify to get in, and that entry fee is so little, and you would be in the big tournament for very little. All you have to do is get over to Prime Social. Go to PrimeSocialTX.com and see for yourself, or download the app of Poker Atlas, because they're actually who's putting it on. But this is going to be huge. And it's $150,000 guaranteed, but it's probably going to be more like $300,000 or more, probably more than that, because you'll have so many players in. And it is going to be, they're going to be flying in from all over. This is your shot. Why not take a shot? You got much better odds than the lottery or any of that other stuff. And oh, by the way, tournaments every day. If you're not at Prime Social, you're not at the best poker spot in the history of the world. We're going to be there tomorrow, broadcasting live, 7801 Westheimer. It's PrimeSocialTX.com. Like a startling sign, the fate had finally
found me. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I know it's not set yet, but what do you think about the possibility of facing the Warriors in the next round, facing them again?
Yeah, that's what I want. I want to face them. And,
man, you're going to be all over Bleacher Report, man.
No, man.
It's cool, though. It's what it is.
We're going to get ready for that. We've been working on it all year long. So, I think that if you want to be the champion, you got to be the champion. So, at some point, you got to do it, right?
Yep, make sure y'all put that, too.
That was Clint Capella next to Chris Paul, who did not like Capella talking about the Warriors already. Mike D'Antoni wouldn't talk about him. James Harden, if you watched all the post game, Mike D'Antoni was like, oh, wait, we're going to wait, okay? We got time for that. As soon as they win, and boy, were they right.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, right afterwards, Jackie, she's really not all that bright. And she goes, and she tweeted out, let's go, Clippers. And I was like, Jackie, the Rockets are going to face the Warriors now, so you can stop. Can you stop? I had almost forgotten that there was still that they were playing, mm-hmm. and that still actually is a thing, that the Clippers were still. And sure enough, Jackie's not that bright, but sometimes she's lucky. And sure enough, the Clippers win and extend the series. And now, you want rest. You do want rest. And hell, this team has not been shooting well the last few games. So, get your shot back or whatever. And a lot of people have said, don't. But there is something to being into a rhythm. If the Warriors play now, they're going to play again on Friday, and then they play the Rockets again on Sunday, or Monday, whatever the case may be. They're going to continue to be in a rhythm. While the Rockets have a break, that you don't normally have a four-day break during. If they go all the way to Monday, they will have sat Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 4 days. There aren't a lot of times where you'll sit that long, although they haven't been shooting all that great anyway. If they were shooting lights out and you go, man, this is not a time to take off. Like, a lot of times the All-Star break will come when you're playing really well, and you're like, damn, this is not the time for an All-Star break. So, with Chris Paul, this is an older team with James Harden, who gets banged up all the time. He was on the ground again yesterday. It's a good thing to get some rest.
Absolutely. To me, it is a good thing. And you know, the next series, regardless of who it's going to be a grind. You're playing a better team, the Clippers, or if the Clippers aren't winning the series, but if they do, then you're like, okay, you have home court, which is nice. But if it is the Warriors, it's going to be a hell of a series. It's going to be a long series. Chris Paul's minutes are going to go up like they did last year. So you want him well rested. You want James, his usage is going to be as high as it was last year and as high as it's been all season long. So you want him rested up. You want these guys ready for that grind. I'm okay with the extra rest. As you mentioned, it's not like they're shooting the ball that great anyways. Mm-hmm. And since that series is starting in Golden State, the whole goal of the first two games is what? Steal one.
Right.
So if you lose game one, and that means you have to get your rhythm back and game two is where you're going to steal it, that's fine. I'm all about the extra rest for this series. And I'm all about the extra grind on the Warriors. Because this series has not been... It's like these Clippers are not... They're not just going, hey, you guys can win this series. They're getting physical with them. They're grinding it out with them as well. So that's adding to their usage.
Right.
I'm all for this.
This is the best case scenario.
It's worth it. And it's worth the rust.
If it was the other way around, if the Rockets had lost yesterday, which it at some points we were like, holy crap, is this going? You got to be kidding me. Everything that we feared is going to happen here. If this was the other way around, we'd be going, look at this.
Yeah.
Can you believe this?
Warriors are now rested up and they're going to come in and just take care of business at home and all that.
All that stuff. It would have been disastrous if this was the case. So it's disastrous for them. However, they're the champs. They're the ones that have won 3 out of 4. They're the ones that know how to win. You know what? They're all, I don't know that they're taking it with a grain of salt. This is their journey this year. It's harder. They weren't as good this year as they've been in past regular seasons. They are, you know, they had their inner turmoil.
Yeah, they're not as deep either.
They're not. No. And now, and with the loss of Boogie, you know, although they didn't have Boogie for the whole first half. Yeah. You know, it has a feeling that something special could happen here. And then you got Milwaukee waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About that when we get there.
Well, I'm already worried about that.
Why?
Because I'm already worried about it.
Let's worry about this series.
No, I'm worried about Milwaukee right now. Yeah, this series, to me, I've already said this is a foregone conclusion.
Milwaukee, and then you have a Western Conference final. Now, I think Portland, if they're there, would be your toughest matchup.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if it's Portland, then you're like, oh.
Quite frankly, the toughest team left in the West is Portland.
What if Portland gets to the finals?
Yeah, over the Warriors.
Well, why wouldn't they? I don't know the history. I know we always point to what the Rockets did in, like, in the mid-90s when a 6 seed got to the finals and won it. What's the lowest seed to win most recently? Has it always been 1 and 2?
Recently, let's see. The Pistons were a 2 seed the year they beat the Lakers. They were a 1 seed.
Even the
Heat. I'm trying to think of like upsets.
I think the Heat were 2 seed in 2006. And even more recently... I think they're a 2 seed one of the years they won as well, or at least got to a finals.
What about 2010 Mavericks?
I would have to look at what their record.
Yeah, what were they? I think they might have been a
3 seed. No, I'll have to look that up. Yeah, because they upset the Lakers, right? That was supposed to be LeBron, Kobe, but they ended up winning that series.
They were a 3 seed. They were a 3 seed. The lowest at Oklahoma.
To win it, OKC, no. Oh, I mean, they got there, yeah.
Yeah, Dallas was a 3 seed.
And that I don't imagine anyone lower than that because we know LeBron era, he's always been a 1 or a 2.
Yeah.
The Warriors have been 1 or 2. So if Portland or the Rockets get there, it'll be an outlier for the last decade pretty much.
Decade, the 6 seeded Rockets were the lowest seed ever.
Well, that's really low. I'm just talking about.
Yeah, he's just talking about beyond 1 or 2. Yeah, who else? It's always 1-2.
And the Mavericks were 3 in 2010-11.
The Pistons were a 3 seed.
So the lowest
year they won.
So the lowest has been in the last 15 years, 20 years or so. It's been a 3.
Other than the 1969 Celtics, who were a 4 seed, there's not been. It's the Rockets as the 6 seed. In 95, and then a couple of 3 seeds.
Now we know the difference.
Otherwise, it's a 1 or 2.
We know the difference between 3 and 4 this year was what, a tiebreaker? So it's not like the Rockets are like four games behind Portland.
Yeah.
When it came down to record, but yeah, even a Rocket the Rockets making the finals or winning the finals would be, I wouldn't say it's historic, but it'd be outside of the norm in the last.
Well, the 2010 Celtics were a four seed
and they made the finals.
How many non-50 win teams have gotten to the finals?
Ooh.
Has that ever happened?
What were the Rockets in?
How many wins did the Rockets have as a six seed?
The six-seeded Rockets that year won 47 games.
Okay.
And then we got to exclude lockout stuff because that's happened.
Yeah, lockout stuff.
Yeah, so a Rockets getting there as a four seed would be different. But like we said, they're like a tiebreaker away and they won 50-plus games. So clearly a real shot.
This would be, yeah. While there have been a couple of other four seeds, two other four seeds, did I say? Six seed. And then mostly, there are a couple of three seeds as well. But it's mostly to get there, you got to be a one or a two, even to just get there. So this would be rather historic for this Rockets team to get there. And oh, by the way, it's a team that's been in your way for how long? Unless the Clippers take care of that business. You know what?
That'd be nice.
Rockets West, they've got the pedigree to do it. You know, what with being from Houston, that entire team.
They put Houston strong.
They probably do.
Do you think they have a Houston Rockets logo on the back, on their nameplate?
Do you think above the nameplate, they put a Rockets logo? I don't think that's
I don't know. I don't know if there's team-issued, like, compression gear. I'm sure the former Rockets have had that sewed on to their compression gear to remind them where they came from. Like, you know, some guys will wear something from their high school. Like Ed Reed would wear a Miami undershirt sometimes, even when he's playing for Baltimore. Maybe some of the ex-Rockets have Rockets compression gear.
And when it's tough, they just lift up their shorts and they see that logo and they go, Houston strong.
Yeah.
It reminds them that we too can lose to Golden State.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that's what they
did. No,
that's what they did.
No, it's a positive thing.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah. You know what else is a positive thing? John Clay Wolf.
Sell us your car.
What? Give me the VIN.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear. Yeah.
Or your jockey strap.
Or
your thong.
Or your thong. Are you wearing a thong right now?
I'm not. I'm driving my 10-year-old son to school. It's his birthday.
Don't limit yourself.
It's his birthday?
His birthday. Say happy birthday.
What's his name?
There you go. Nolan Wolf.
Nolan. Happy birthday, buddy. Congratulations.
You're better.
Wait a minute.
You're better than Raheel. Yeah. He wouldn't come to work on his birthday.
Raheel doesn't come to work on his birthday, John Clay. Why are you making your kid go to school?
Named after the great Nolan Ryan. So see, there's a Houston.
Oh, how about that? That is Houston.
I'm named after the great Raheel Ryan.
There's no Raheels. There's no great Raheels ever. Okay? So stop saying that. So you're a mean person making your kid go to school on his birthday, but that's just you. So here's the deal. Somebody's got to sell their car. Somebody's got to buy cars today. Who's it going to be?
It's going to be us. We sold 480 yesterday.
Wow.
Wednesdays are big sale days. So we bought from basically 500 cars last week, sold 480 of them yesterday. And, we're reloading for next week, you know. Porsches to Pintos, as bad as that sounds. I'd say $2,000 is really our bottom, and then we go to the moon up to, you know, supercars, $200,000-$300,000. But a lot of people listen and have, you know, $50,000-$80,000 cars that they figure a guy like me will lowball them on, and actually a guy like me will highball them versus my competitors. I mean, I beat CarMax by $10,000 on a heavy car before.
Wow.
I beat Texas Direct by $20,000 on a heavy car before. So good merchandise. We pay a lot for good cars. Give me the VIN. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. Happy birthday, Nolan.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Paul Antunes, ESPN Brazil. You spoke to the inconsistency of your team defensively in this series. After 87 games this year, what would you say the identity of your club is?
What's the identity of our club? Back-to-back champions?
I'm saying for this particular season.
I don't know. Like, we're really good. I mean, we're hanging banners. You know, what's our identity? We play fast. We play defense. I don't know. Maybe we should do an instructional video later, and we'll send it to you.
That was brutal. That was brutal.
Losing to the Clippers, that's part of the identity. Infighting, part of the identity. Kevin Durant leaving, part of the identity.
Well, that's kind of the DNA for all champions who are together too long.
Yeah.
Everyone, it always boils down to the final year that you're together. It's always a bleeping struggle. It always takes everything you got to win it again. Just how it goes.
The Spurs are the only one, like, sustained champions and sustained franchise where there wasn't a messy breakup.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean? Kawhi was a messy breakup.
Yeah, good point. Never mind, even them.
Yeah. You can't name a team.
90s Lakers, Showtime Lakers. How was that breakup? Lakers. Sorry, 80s Lakers. They broke up in the 90s, though, after Jordan had his way.
Well, wasn't Dunleavy Riley was gone, and then they had one last run with Dunleavy and Magic, right? Was it Dunleavy the coach of that team?
Well, yeah, that was the 90 team that went to the – that was 90.
90, yeah.
Early 90, 91, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, it was 80 – oh, no, it was 90, 91.
Yeah, 90, Jordan's 91. First title.
Yeah.
Dunleavy was – so Riley was already gone. I don't remember how that occurred, why he left, but so he wasn't around for that.
That wasn't a very good team.
No, I was in L.A. at the time, and Sam Perkins was hitting big shots for them to get them there. They scratched and clawed and got there. I don't know how they got there.
Yeah.
It happens. LeBron left Riley in Miami because he didn't like the way he didn't like whatever reason. Mike Miller didn't get a deal. He was upset with that. He didn't have control the way he wanted. It always happens. The Warriors are just at the end. And at some point, it'll be you. If I'm them, it's Clay and Steph, and we'll build around them. Draymond can go kick rocks.
Yeah.
All right, next series. I'm moving on to the Warriors already.
Okay, move on.
Who is the X factor? We know what James is. We know what Chris Paul is. Who's the X factor in that series?
It's going to have to be Clint Capella. I know that's the easiest one to take, but
I think
earlier
it's
in the
Gordon.
Season,
I'm going to go Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon's a good one too. But earlier in the last year's series, Capella was not good until the later games. And he was a non-factor at times. So for them to really exploit that center mismatch now, you know, Boogie being gone, that's great. They're going to have to get Clint easy buckets, keep him in the game, stay, you know, mentally keep him there. He's going to, of course, rebound. I'm not worried about that. But you got to get him involved. You got to make them rotate over and worry about him, thus leaving some shooters open.
Don't you think that they'll do a lot of what they did? I don't know. I don't know that the Warriors are going to let James drive the lane the way that Utah did. I still don't get their whole that whole philosophy of theirs. I know Milwaukee had some success, but yeah, I guess it's harder to shoot threes. That they were talking about it last night. But to just leave the lane wide open time after time.
I get what
time.
You're saying, but the last three games,
James hasn't been
good.
Only because his floater wasn't dropping.
That's the game you're playing.
And
it's not even just a floater. We talked about it after game four. The lob game wasn't working. They made adjustments to that as well. So Clint Capella wasn't as effective with the lobs and the dunks and others. So it just so happened that since they can't shoot, they couldn't take advantage of it. But the strategy began to wear on the Rockets as that series continued. It's just the Jazz realized, or they forgot, you know, Making baskets is kind of important in basketball.
Mm-hmm. Need that.
Particularly Donovan Mitchell, your best player, can't go 4-for-22 in a game. That's very winnable. So the Rockets survived.
Now, Eric Gordon's a good pick. He was excellent against the Warriors last year. And look, defensively, you got to give credit to Eric Gordon. He did a great job on Mitchell. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. D'Antoni even talked about it yesterday going into the fourth quarter. Like, how do you slow down Mitchell? And you just go, he said, Eric has to do his job. Eric is our guy. He's going to have to be one of the defensive guys now and slow down Donovan Mitchell. That's it.
See, I get the Eric Gordon thing, but at this point, he's in your starting lineup. He's your third scorer, and sometimes, depending on how Chris Paul's shooting, he's your second scorer. I actually kind of remove him from the X-factor category only because you're not going to say one of the war. I know he's not up to the level. Oh, you think he's Klay Thompson.
Well, wait a minute.
You think he's Klay Thompson. He's not an X-factor anymore if he's Klay Thompson.
Well, here's the deal. Eric Gordon, 35.2 minutes per game. Klay Thompson, 35.6. Eric Gordon is shooting 43.9. Klay Thompson, 48.7. Eric Gordon is shooting 48.6 from three. Klay is shooting 43.8. 100% for Klay at the line, 80% for Gordon, and the rebounds are 2 and 1, and turnovers 1 and 1. And so to think that it's crazy to say that he's your Klay Thompson, I think is he actually has been.
He has to be for them to win. The question, I guess, you and Lance were talking about, can he be consistently what Klay has been over the course of a series? We'll see.
Well, I didn't say he. He has been over the course of that series.
If it comes down to the Warriors, have to do it again. So if he's Klay Thompson, he's not your X factor because Klay Thompson is considered a person who we expect those type of performances from. So
well,
he can't
and you
be
know
your
what?
X factor anymore.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? But here's the deal: if Eric Gordon reverts back to pre All Star game, then he is an X factor. If he continues to play the way he is going to be a huge difference in the series.
Well, yeah, because he's one of your four best players. So like I said, if he's Klay Thompson, you're going to have to pick someone else as your X factor because Klay Thompson is an X factor. We expect performances from him. If we expect those performances from Eric Gordon, maybe it's Daniel House because until last game, he was atrocious.
Yeah.
Maybe he's the guy who makes a difference because you've pointed to it multiple times how bad the Warriors bench, and we pointed to the Rockets bench as an advantage. It wasn't that much of an advantage in this past series.
Well, no. In game four, the bench had 2 points. Two. The whole bench. You can't do that. They've got to contribute. Fareed has got to contribute. Rivers has got to contribute. Daniel House has to contribute.
Gerald. Where's Gerald?
I know, but Gerald's been limited.
Where's Gerald?
I'd much rather have Daniel House on the floor. You know what? That was his first playoff series, so you got to give him a little bit of a break. Okay? Hopefully he will get back to being, you know, hey, it ain't easy. When you're fighting for your career and you come up, every game is important. Mm-hmm. And so it never seemed like the stage was too big for him. It maybe looked like it was a little bit here.
Yeah. The Clint Capella soundbite, you're going to hear it a lot. It's on ESPN's front page where he's saying, we want them. We want the Warriors and Chris Paul. We heard it last segment. Chris Paul going, no, don't. Now you're going to end up on Bleacher Report. I love the fact that Clint Capella's like, let's do it.
Well, Clint Capella's been the most outspoken of.
Yeah.
When they lost that series, we were the better team.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant. I mean, it all started when Kevin Durant's like, what do you do, Clint? You just catch lobs. Be quiet. He's just a lob catcher, okay? Well, relax.
Yeah.
The big boys are talking right now.
Right.
And ever since then, Clint Capella's like, I want this team. Let's go. I like that, man. You know, the rest of the guys, we'll see what happens with the matchup is. No, let's go. We want this team. And they all know they want them.
Yeah. No, they do. They're just not saying anything right now. Because what did the Clippers say last night after the game? Are they talking about the Rockets? We were talking about the Rockets?
You still have this game to worry about.
Yeah. You guys were talking about the Rockets?
I thought it was over, too.
Yeah, everybody thought it was over, except the Clippers.
Yeah, I called Joel Blank yesterday because we're going to do a preview of the Warriors-Rockets, and I said, hey, look, more than likely, if both teams win, then we're going to do a little preview, so plan on shooting a sports map piece tomorrow with me. And this morning, I woke up, and I said, oh, cool, don't have to do a video today.
Hmm. Well, you want to do a video, though, don't you?
No, I'm good.
What do you mean, want? you don't have to. You mean, oh, man,
yeah,
I don't
damn
get to
it.
Do a video
I don't get
today,
to do
right?
a video.
I don't have to do one today.
Damn it.
Shaved for no reason.
Damn it to hell.
You shaved?
Underneath.
You shaved?
Oh, underneath.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where did you shave?
Right there.
You don't have to shave yet. Time for me to talk about our other baseball team in town.
The real baseball team.
Wow. The Miners are fun. Constellation Field, beautiful. It is a wonderful park. All right. Skeeters games, they have all kinds of content. The kids, there's all kinds of stuff to do. There's a playground in the outfield. Cheaper everything. Just $14 for the best seats in the house to see a team loaded with former major leaguers and some guys who are hoping to get up there as well. First 2,000 fans tonight receive commemorative championship rings courtesy of Constellation Energy, as well as, hey, championship ring night? Are you kidding me? Place will be packed. All right. Texas Farm Bureau magnetic schedules as well. Tomorrow is fireworks, the first time a minor league team has ever had fireworks at a ballpark. That's tomorrow night. Saturday, Skeeters.
On a Friday, too?
On a Friday. On a Friday.
Breaking new ground.
Brought to you by Member Source Credit Union. It's all at Constellation Field. SugarlandSkeeters.com. Affordable family fun. Just a wonderful place to go see a game. You can entertain clients, church groups, organizations, little league teams, schools, birthday parties. John Clay Wolf can bring his kid here. Birthday party. SugarlandSkeeters.com. That's SugarlandSkeeters.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776. Uncle Frederick is on the line. Wants to talk about James Harden here on ESPN 97.5. What's up, Freddie?
What's up, Don?
How you doing, pal?
I'm doing good, good. So last weekend, I was fortunate enough to play a little bit of poker in Las Vegas, and I'm sitting at a poker table with nine other people, and the debate of NBA players came up. These guys, everywhere else in the U.S., have no respect for Harden. They came up, we were talking about the best players, you know, and I'm a homer, are you Harden this, Harden that. It was a consensus of 9 out of 10 where pretty much Durant was number one, LeBron 2, Giannis 3, Curry 4, Harden 5. Just, he's a loser, he can't win, he's not clutch. It was the craziest thing. This went on for a good, you know, poker banter, it went on for a good 45 minutes. But, a bunch of, you know, a few LeBron lovers, it was crazy how... At that table, it was Durant this, Durant that. It was nuts.
You know,
Uncle Freddie, go ahead. You have a pick. Who you taking, Harden or Durant?
No, Harden.
Okay.
You're going to
take... I take Harden. That was my argument there. Durant, but Durant's done it with Curry. He did it with Thompson. I mean, he did it with Golden State. I think it would Harden enough, but I argued with them, too, what Harden did this year. Because they were arguing LeBron, too. And I'm like, LeBron couldn't carry the Lakers to the playoffs. Harden carried this team for a good 60 days when everybody was hurt. I mean, yeah, he had a streak and he was scoring all those points, but he had no choice. And they're just like, it's the LeBron argument. Yes, LeBron is great. LeBron is good. But this year, there's no way LeBron was better than Harden.
I didn't understand. This week, this subject has actually come up on Stephen A. and Kellerman, whatever the name of that show is. First Take. And Max Kellerman says that James Harden is the new Peyton Manning, choker in the postseason. You mean the guy with two rings, Peyton Manning?
Peyton Manning's like, excuse me.
Yeah.
Hey,
I don't know if you, I can't hear you. There's so much ringing in my ears.
Yeah, but before that Super Bowl, the narrative on Peyton Manning was he can't get to the Patriots. He can't win it all.
But he did, though.
No. Yes, and James' career isn't done. So by no means, like, it's...
No, but we already have the whole narrative about Peyton Manning. How can you call him a choker when he's won two times?
Did he say that, like, the full career or up till the Super Bowl?
Well,
I didn't hear
then
the
what
thing.
He's saying is...
Yeah.
Okay, James Harden has replaced Peyton Manning in American sports culture as the choker. And by that, I mean he can still play very well in the playoffs by normal standards. But Peyton Manning, regular season, clearly the best ever. Playoffs, different guy. And that has been James Harden's history when the going gets tough in the playoffs. I don't know that that's true. He averages, James Harden does average fewer points in the postseason. Yeah. He's not as good, but he's still a good, good player. And oh, by the way, Peyton, I don't get this whole thing. Peyton Manning won. How could you be a choker if you won two titles? Mm-hmm. I
think it's just the stats just dropping.
I just think it's just. His logic. Let me have a hot take. Yeah. Let me have a really, really hot take.
Well, the logic is the stats dropping. That's it.
I don't know how that show really works in terms of context, but you can legitimately say when the going gets tough, and really we know what tough means, elimination James. I'm not sure that's nationwide, but when elimination James
occurs, that's true.
That it happens. James is still a fantastic player throughout the playoffs, and you imagine you're playing tougher competition night to night, so you're not going to be as great all the time. Other players take their game up level.
Right.
James isn't always up to his regular season level. I don't know how you could do it this year the way he played. He struggles sometimes in elimination games. But
no, he still struggled mightily in elimination games.
I'm trying to be kind. That's all. But he is still a fantastic playoff player in those other games. But I wouldn't compare him to Peyton Manning because, like you said, to this point, Peyton Manning can always point and go, wait a minute. I have my two rings.
Boy, I hope he's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope
if he's
Peyton
right
Manning.
About that, then eventually James will break through.
Yeah, that means that James is going to win a couple times. If James wins one ring here, this has been an immense success. If he wins two, now Peyton Manning had to go to Denver to win his second one, and he wasn't nearly as big a part of it as he was in Indianapolis.
He was better early in Denver and when they got blown out in a Super Bowl as opposed to the one he won when he wasn't great.
Right. No, he was awesome that year. What do you have? That was the 50 touchdown year. Right?
I don't know exactly.
Yeah, he had 50 touchdowns that year that they went, and then next year when he sucked, when he was leading the league in interceptions, they won the Super Bowl.
KD got to
when
the finals.
When Brock actually carried him to the Super Bowl.
The KD Harden thing that Uncle Freddie called about. Look, KD got to the finals when they were younger. They beat that Lakers team, and they were just that team was just faster. It was athletic. It was in a time in the West where all the good teams are getting older, and this up-and-coming team, they got there. That's great. But before he went to Golden State, Kevin Durant was James Harden. Getting to the conference finals, blowing a lead, you're like, hey, when you needed him the most, what happened? Durant was not good after that 3-1 lead.
How did he play against Miami in the final?
Durant was okay. It was Harden. James was the, like, you needed James to step up.
James.
Yeah.
Well, he was bad after game one. I think I remember watching that series clearly as a Heat fan. He had one stretch, I think, in game two where he was okay from like the second and third quarter.
Yeah. After that, His numbers for that series are a little misleading. He actually was not that bad.
Yeah. Who, Harden?
Yeah.
He was just, as the sixth man, he was less impactful than they would have wanted. And, you get beat in five games like the way they did. I guess that fits. I'm trying to find what KD did in game seven, those stats there, because I'm trying to figure out. He
scored. It was a pretty poor shooting night, wasn't it?
No. Game seven, 10 for 19, 3 or 7 from 3, 27 points. He didn't have a poor night. It was actually a low-scoring game. It was only 96-88. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure, and I'm looking at his other stats, and the one where Klay Thompson went for like 41 in OKC to get them that win. Let's see, KD in that one. He shot poorly in game six. Got 29, but that was on 31 shots. Klay Thompson went off for 41 and changed the complexion of that series. So he wasn't atrocious in game seven. But the one thing, the difference between him and James so far in their careers as leading men before he went to Golden State, KD got to the finals with James. But he was the lead dog on a finals team. James hasn't accomplished that yet. And we'll see if he gets it done this year.
Looking for... Yeah.
Which are you looking for?
Well, I was looking for his... Did you have his Miami series?
Oh, James?
Yeah.
I would have to go back and find
that. Yeah, I'm looking for that. But he wasn't... He actually was pretty good that postseason. He was...
he was great that postseason.
Yeah.
He was one of the... obviously, those three, Westbrook, Harden, and Durant. And also, hey, Serge Ibaka's like, guys...
Hey.
He used to be the big four, okay?
I'm over here.
You guys threw
they
me actually, to
they paid me first, yeah. by the way. That's guys, why James is on your team.
I was the original, okay? He was great that postseason.
Yeah.
Until the finals. That's it.
Yeah. I'm got James up right now looking for the averages. Let's see. James Harden, 12, just over 12 points per game. Shot under 40%. Shot under 38% for that series, and about just under 32% from three. So the numbers were significantly
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
Shooting wise in that series.
Yeah. Well, here's where he can turn the whole thing around. And if he's Peyton Manning, awesome.
And Peyton won it in 2006. He got in the league in 1998. James has been in since when?
2008.
So right around the same time, Peyton broke through about 8-9 seasons in. Now right. James tries to do it too.
09. So, 09 was his first year.
So he's been in, we're going, what, this is his
10th season.
10th season. So yeah. Peyton got there a little quicker. So James got a shot now. See what happens.
Yeah. Michael took 8 years?
Yeah.
Right.
And remember, James wasn't the lead dog his entire time.
No.
That's happened the last 5 years.
And so. James hasn't had this team.
Yeah.
Right. MJ, 6 years, right? 85 draft?
83
and 91? Draft. 83 draft.
And 91.
Yeah. It took Kobe how many years?
Not
I think
long.
Most everyone like
Kobe was drafted like what 96?
96. So and they won in 2001.
But he wasn't the
lead dog. Yeah, he wasn't lead dog.
He didn't win as lead dog to what 2009?
Isn't it like the average LeBron took 6 years, 7 years?
LeBron 2003 won it in 2011-12. So about 8 years, nine seasons. It's about average unless you're Dwayne
Michael
Wade.
Was the 84 draft.
84-85 draft.
Right.
I think Dwayne Wade may be the outlier. He won it he was drafted in 2003, won it 2006.
He started in 84. Yeah, it took him.
It took him 7 years.
So James, his time frame isn't that crazy.
No.
If he won it this year, he'd be right in line with everybody else.
No, especially now that he's a scoring champ year after year after year. You just got to get those pieces around him.
I think we all
this
know
is
the
his
deal.
Year.
We all know the deal. James was losing, but wasn't losing in the spectacular fashion that he has lost. This wouldn't be the huge deal that it is. He just has these moments where they're just awful. If he was just losing playoff series against better teams, which he has faced throughout his career, people are like, it's James' time this year. It's just that he's been awful
in those games. And last year was the greatest opportunity. As somebody pointed out, you guys are not remembering, the Cavs were a 4 seed last year.
Yeah.
That would have been much easier to get through than this gauntlet.
Mm-hmm. True.
You got to get through this Golden State team, which I don't think is as good.
But
we're not as cohesive.
But I think if you get through them, you're facing a if you face Portland, who knows how it goes. That's a good team that's a better team than we thought that you would have to get through.
Right,
afterwards.
And you don't play them well because
no,
they
don't.
Match up with you perfectly at guard.
Yeah,
their strength is your strength.
You have athletic three and fours who can switch things. Mo Harkless is a problem defensively. So yeah, that they're a problem. I'm not saying the Rockets wouldn't be favored, but it's tougher than you would have thought.
Yep.
Tommy Stark says Harden is the Tony Romo of the NBA.
No, he's not. He's much better than Tony Romo.
Tony Romo.
I don't know what kind of analyst
right?
he is. Mm. I don't think James would be as good as an analyst as.
You don't
Tony
think
Romo.
He could predict things before they happen?
I think he would, but nobody would understand him.
Okay, Jim. Okay, Doris. What if James Harden was paired with Doris Burke? Okay, Doris. Here we go. There'll be the 1-3 pick
what?
And roll here, Doris.
Okay, Jim. Pick and roll. Run and roll. What?
Okay, Jim. They've got you on the left there. You know what's coming. I don't know. I'm just trying to call a game.
Hey, Doris, respect the 1-3 pick and roll. Watch the Jazz. Help the helper.
What?
Here we go, Jim. That's not James.
That's not James.
That's Tony. We're doing James right now.
Okay, Jim.
You think Jim Everly's just like, gosh, shut up. Just let me call the game.
Tony,
you know how many lines Tony has stepped on? Like, James, you know Jim has a line to clean up a game or recap something. You know how many times Tony stepped on it? James, Jim's like, you mother. Billy Packer never did this.
I'll tell you what I do. What I do now, since Lent is over, cheers.
When was your first drink?
The day after, Monday.
Monday,
but I... Yeah.
On the course?
I had 2 beers on the course. That's it. Really? And then went to the game that night and had more than that. But you know what helped? Cheers. It's called Cheers now. Cheershealth.com. Cheershealth.com. Cheers Health is extraordinary. It's extraordinary in that you will feel better the day after you have a few cocktails. You don't have to have, you don't have to, you know, just go crazy. No one's asking you. No one's telling you, oh, it's okay. Now you can just get stinky, stinky drunk. No, that's not what they're saying here. It doesn't matter how, even if you have a couple of glasses of wine, you're not going to feel this good. You take the capsules before you go to bed and you're going to feel better, period. It helps your liver. It does all kinds of things. It's done by scientists and doctors and Ivy League guys. They put this together. They're really, really smart people. And what they're doing is making you feel better the next day. As a matter of fact, it's guaranteed. Because if you don't feel 50% better, you get your money back. They're right here in Houston, so you'll get your package by 3 p.m. tomorrow. If you order by 3 p.m. today, you'll get it tomorrow. All at cheershealth.com. That's cheershealth.com. Don't drink without it. I don't drink without it. You shouldn't either.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.